You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. Thank you for tuning in for this Unity Partner Program. Unity Online Radio partners with spiritual leaders from organizations whose mission and messages complement Unity's. We are pleased to bring you this program on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome to Everyday Attraction, where the law of attraction gets real with host Ray Zander. Get ready to expand your life, your knowing, your alignment with Source.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Everyday Attraction. You've got your feel-good sisters here. This is Ray.
And this is Heather.
And we're so happy you're here, to talk about all things fantastical. Well, not even, just everyday. Everyday fantastical. Ordinarily extraordinary, don't you think?
Ordinarily extraordinary.
Every day
is an exciting day.
Every day, exactly. We're here to talk about your life in the zone, in the vortex. What are the other words we're hearing from these
feeling
wonderful?
Feeling good.
Your feel good flow. Why? Because you're here for fun. You're here for joy. You're here to create magnificently. You're here to take thoughts and create them into things. Have you heard? I know you have, this metaphysical audience out there in listening to the show. We talk about leading edge teachers. We talk about your inner being. Ah. Don't we? That's really the crux of it, isn't it? We talk about the relationship between who you are and who you really are, your inner being, and all the wonderful things and ways that you can become more in touch with the truth of you and the powerful co-creator that you are, or creator, because it's just you and Source.
You and you.
The
relationship between you and you, which is also between you and I, because it's the you in you that's the us in us.
I got that.
It's all the same.
I think I follow that. I like it. Actually, it sounded kind of like a rap. Boom, boom, boom. So what we love to do every week is talk specifically about information and knowledge and understandings that can help us live every day more vibrantly. Because you know what? Tuesday should be as exciting as Saturday night. You know? Wednesday, someone said to me, happy Friday Eve. I was like, well, let's make Wednesday pre-Friday Eve and Tuesday.
Well, Wednesday's hump day. They call it hump day anyway. So.
I know, but there's this idea that somehow the week should be less fun than the weekend.
I actually have been working on that one. I finally, just in the last year and a half, worked out the kinks in my own life about weekdays, weekends, weeknights, weekends, all of that. It's very interesting.
It is very interesting to notice. And I noticed that in my corporate environment, in the tech world, there is that tendency sometimes to be like, oh, just two more days. Oh, just one more day. And I'm like, oh, no, not going there. Every day is an opportunity for alignment, expansion, fun, and productive fun. And we are going to talk specifically about the Abrahams again this week, because I am, if you can smell it, fresh from an Abraham workshop.
Going next weekend.
Yes, and Heather going next week. So I was at San Francisco yesterday. Heather's going to be in LA next weekend. So we thought it would be fun for this week's show to just talk a little bit about what our experiences are. And if you haven't gone to an Abraham workshop, boy, I don't think I can recommend anything more than the experience of being in the room with 500 or 600 other people who have the sole intention of going higher in their vibration and listening to these powerful teachers. Abraham, of course, is Abraham-Hicks through Esther Hicks and Jerry. Many of you might have heard of them. Many of you have studied them. We are quite big fans. And can I just, give a shout out to the Abraham community? Dang, I love those people.
Yeah, they rock.
They're so much fun. So much fun. And it's just the light in there. And yet, you know, when people get into the hot seat, they go deep. You know, yep. they're exposing some personal stuff because they're serious about being wobble free. And there isn't any question that can't be danced with these teachers. And so it is fun to be in a room with that focused intention. And Esther, who does her channeling so beautifully with such ease, you know, I remember where she used to hang on to the podium. Because the energy would rise so much when she would begin to receive that, you know, she'd kind of have to hold on. But now she's just stable, you know.
Yeah. I remember the first time I went to an Abraham event. It was so long ago. I don't know, 12 years ago or something. And I had to close my eyes the whole time because I was so used to hearing them on audio, and to go live, it was so stimulating. I just got distracted with the energy of stimulation.
It can be overwhelming. It yeah. can be. And what I love about, and once you kind of acclimate to it, I totally remember that too, is that kind of swooning feeling. But once you acclimate to it, what really is interesting is the questions that you thought you had. One, get answered pretty rapidly. But two, you can hardly remember what your problems were because the energy is so high in the room, and you begin to say yes in such a big way. You almost forget what you were fretting about. Mm-hmm. Like you can't, you know what I mean? You can't really get your teeth into it like you had the night before. And I think it's such an experience to feel that high vibration and to really know that you don't have to go to a workshop to have that. You have that inside of you. It's just a matter of practice and access. And I know many of you who've been studying this kind of work know that, but it is powerful to have that experience. And so you can go to abraham-hicks.com. And I'm going to go, well, I hope Heather joins me too, but I'm going to go on the cruise next year to Alaska. Did you say yes to that?
I did. Okay. Yeah. And it's my birthday. 4th of July is my birthday. So I've been wanting to go on an Alaskan cruise with Abraham for years and years and years. So that's going to be my birthday present.
So, okay. We're just going to put it out there right now. If you want to go on the Feel Good Sisters Abraham cruise, it's going to be next July, Alaska. Oh, that'll be so much fun. That'll be really fun. That'll be an intention. So what happened in San Francisco yesterday was, first of all, packed. There was not an empty seat in the house. And a lot of newbies, people who had were at their first workshop.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's really extraordinary. It's really fun. So the first thing that they started talking about, which I loved, is that, you know, what is really not that important. Even less important is how what is came about. Or getting anyone else to understand what is. So they immediately introduced this idea that we really get caught up a bit too much in what is, especially if what is not what we're wanting.
Is not what we're wanting. Okay. Just clarifying that.
Yeah. And we're always moving forward, always, you know, things happening. But they were really emphasizing not to get so caught up in the what is of your life, but to pull your attention from anything that is that you don't want, because the power of your gaze, your attention to it. I think sometimes we just don't take ourselves seriously enough that our viewing and absorbing a condition holds it in place. I think we're a really hard time with that one.
Yeah. Well, and for me, the thing that I think I called you last week from the gym and said, oh my gosh, I had this revelation at the gym this morning, because I have these like deep Jack Handy conversations with myself.
While you're treading.
Deep thoughts with Jack Handy. Yeah. So while I'm treading or while I'm ellipticing or while I'm lifting, whatever I'm doing. So I was like, oh my gosh, I get something about me. Now, I don't know if other people do this. This is what's interesting about our own, we create our own worlds, is that we look at life through our own head and our own eyes and our own ears, and we think everyone else does it the exact same way, but nobody does. So I don't know if this is just me, But I used to give so much attention to what's not working in that it would grab me like a magnet. It would be like, you know, like you go through life and you go, oh, yeah, this good thing happened to me this week. Okay, great. Good. That's done. You know, I don't think about the good thing that happened after that. I just, you know, it was great. Yeah, whatever. And then that's it. But something bad goes on or, you know, something I don't want. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Did you know that this happened and blah, blah. It's this big, ugly, hairy, big, huge black hole sucking in magnetic force.
And we tell everybody.
And we tell everybody. Yeah. And then we tell it again and again and again and again. And we're like so into the story. And why is it that we're not telling people this good thing that happened to me all day long, every day, and just saying it over and over and over again? Why doesn't it have that same magnetic power is my question, you know?
So well, I think it's momentum. Oh, I think it's momentum too, because I think if we spent more time in the what we're wanting and really reveling in the fact that it is ours and it's coming and isn't it going to be great? And oh, here's this great thing on my way to what I want. If we really truly spent more time in that, I think it would have the same rapid fire that the other does. But in our culture, we're really conditioned to get to the bottom of stuff. And I think, you know, a lot of people who are brought to the Abraham work, this is kind of what separates the men from the boys, in the sense that if you can't hang with the idea that not paying attention to what's going wrong is the right thing to do. I mean, that's a huge thing, because most people are like, well, that's crazy. You're in denial. You know, that's exactly what you should do, is pay attention to what's going wrong and fix it, fix it, fix it. But what they're saying is, because your attention is what creates reality.
Right.
You know, if what is not pleasing you and you're focused on it, that is exactly what's keeping your desires from coming in. So, well, that's a little sobering, right?
Yeah.
And then that was really sobering. It's like, well, if you really want what you want, then you got to get off of what's not working and onto what you're wanting. And I think it's because we don't realize how powerful we are.
And also, and this might be, I don't know if this is a sex thing, women versus men, but as women, we have a hard time receiving, and we're more practiced as givers as we are receivers. And so when we're looking at what is working, it's like we are receiving it. I was listening to one of their Abraham things the other day, and they were talking about we think we want money and stuff like that, but we ask for money, but we have to be willing to allow the money that we're asking for. And if we can't receive it, it's just going to stay energetically in the vortex and not manifest because we're not able to receive. So I think for me, receiving has been a big, big, big lesson and teaching to clients. And it's really interesting.
Yeah. A lot of stuff comes up, because giving, we got it. We got that down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That we're good at for the most part. But this idea of really unconditional receiving too, mm-hmm. not doing anything to receive. And that was another thing that was so big, and we'll go into it as we get through the hour, but unconditional, this mm-hmm. unconditional loving, unconditional living, unconditional receiving. We're so caught up in the condition.
Deserving.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
To deserve or something, or do something in order to receive something.
Exactly. Exactly. And the other thing that I found so enticing about what they were saying was this: they really focused a lot on momentum. All right, this idea of what momentum is, and you know, it's momentum is really your point of attraction. So what you've been focused on, you know, that is this momentum. So if there's been a lot of time in your past or your current time where you've been focused on something, there is a lot of energy around you, to the point where if you have a lot of momentum around a certain topic, the thoughts will start feeling like they're thinking you rather than you thinking the thoughts. Because in the certain momentum, there are pools of thought that will catch you and begin to be part of your thought process, even though they might not be organically your own. So this was interesting, because that same momentum that can be in the not want field, like if you're negative about a certain thing and if you're complaining about a certain thing, suddenly you'll be thinking more and more thoughts that have that same energy. But it's also the same on the other side of it, that if you have a positive momentum and you're really spending the majority of your time talking about what it is that you're appreciating and that you're loving and that what's happening and what's working, that you'll also begin to receive those blocks of thoughts. And in those blocks of thoughts are inspirations to solve the problems that you need for the other stuff that you're no longer paying attention to. So I'm going to slow that down again. So when you're in that positive momentum, solutions to your problems will come because you're not focused on the problem. You're focused right. on that high energy and then the solution, like, oh, I'll call this person or, oh, I'll pay that and that'll happen. And suddenly you're thinking, wow, it was there the whole time. Well, not really. You weren't in the field to receive it. Mm-hmm. So I love momentum as long as it's going in the right direction. Otherwise, momentum kind of sucks. But they also talked about, you know, catching momentum early on.
Yeah.
You know, she's talking a lot about that example of, you know, the car at the top of the hill. And if you nudge it a little bit and stop it, it's okay. But if you let the car go and get at the bottom of the hill,
momentum.
Yeah, and try and stop it. Good luck
with
that.
Better get out of the way.
Yeah. So I've been trying to flag momentum early on, like those negative thoughts or those complaining thoughts or those, oh my God, those fearful thoughts that come in, and catch them early and begin to release them and shift away from them and say, oh no, or find ways to soothe them in the moment before they start to really, you know, build.
Yeah.
And that's a technique.
That's a technique. And you have to be willing. I've noticed for myself, we have to be willing to release judgment, because it's really not as easy if we're going to judge ourselves about that, because then it's like, oh shoot, that thing happened and that thing that I do, and I don't like that thing that I do. But if we say, oh wow, isn't that interesting? See that it's coming now. Okay, great. Good to know. And then just shift it.
Yes.
That to release. To be gentle to yourself and not have to have it be, you know, look a certain way or try to pretend like there's such thing as perfection when there's really not.
Yeah. And there's that unconditional loving of oneself. And we'll get into more. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about unconditional living. We're going to talk about the need and the importance to stop evaluating your conditions, which is part of the what isness. And when we come back, more interesting, delicious stuff from the latest, greatest, leading edge of Abraham Hicks' work. We'll be back after the break. Don't think about it. Let it unfold. Let it.
Are you in a state of change, a period of transition? Perhaps you simply don't know which way to turn, or you want guidance on taking that next step in your personal or professional life. You can activate the power of yes with Reverend Beverly Molander. As a new thought minister and next step counselor, she knows how to listen to where you are and help you get to where you want to be. With 20 plus years of experience, she offers spiritual counseling and affirmative prayer next step counseling for your personal or professional life, as well as resume writing and editing. To learn more about Beverly's counseling services, visit beverlymolander.net. That's Beverly, MOLANDER.net.
In his new book, What If Godzilla Just Wanted a Hug?, Daryl Fusaro emphasizes the positive effects of applying unity principles in everyday situations. Laura Harvey, editor of Daily Word magazine, exclaims, "Daryl Fusaro shares his life lessons with inspiring creativity. This book is encouraging, funny, and heartwarming, a combination I highly recommend." As co-host of Unity Online Radio's Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed, Daryl's old-school charm and no-nonsense approach to spirituality keep a global audience laughing and inspired. What If Godzilla Just Wanted a Hug? Is loaded with Daryl's hilarious, award-winning illustrations and packs his wit and wisdom into easy-to-digest, bite-sized stories of how he transforms chaos into tranquility and succeeds in the entertainment business by doing the opposite of everyone else. What If Godzilla Just Wanted a Hug is a pocket Bible encouraging the talented and timid to trust their gut, act on their intuition, and step out boldly. Even if you just bought it for the chapter titles and Daryl Fusaro's illustrations alone, you'd be getting more than your money's worth with this book. Author and film critic Sister Rose Bucati says, "Spending time with Fusaro's stories will leave you no choice but to smile and carry on." Oh, he forgot to mention he hangs out with a group of nuns, but then, if he had, it would have necessitated a change to some of his more colorful adjectives. Have fun ordering your copy of What If Godzilla Just Wanted a Hug today on Amazon.com.
We now return to Everyday Attraction and the Metaphysical Porch with your spiritual neighbor, Ray Zander. Have a sit, get something to sip, and let's get real. Spiritual.
Welcome back from the break. You're listening to the Feel Good Sisters here on Everyday Attraction, your center for aligned talk. I'm just making that up on the fly. We encourage you to go to our website and check out what other things we've got going on. That's everydayattraction.com. And you'll see there that Heather has got some opportunities happening this summer. If you'd like a channeling session, she's offering some great deals for you to be specific and or general as whatever feels good with her and really allow her to bring some wonderful insight. Heather, did you want to say anything about that offer?
I'm doing a half off for people to really get us to get their questions answered. And when I'm channeling Source with the Joyous Ones, they really like to talk a lot about our bodies and the beauty and joy within who we be in the physical aspect and how the blending happens. And so if that's something that you have questions about or you're intrigued with or you want to be gentler and more loving and nice to your bodies and learn some really cool stuff, it's fun.
Awesome. And I had actually some people at the workshop. One in particular came up who had a session with you and she raved and was going on and on about how wonderful it was and how excited she is to work with you. So shout out to her. We know that she's listening and we really appreciate her enthusiasm. And but that was really nice to have some people approach at the Abraham Hicks workshop and just give us some feedback about the show and the experience they had with you, in particular with the session. So thank you for offering that, Miss Heather, Miss Feel Good Sister. We also encourage you to support our sponsor, which is sendoutcards.com/attraction. We really believe in the power of appreciation and sending a card to someone out of the blue and telling them how much you appreciate and love them is one of the most really poignant things you can do with your day. So we've set up an agreement with sendoutcards.com/attraction, where you can actually design your own card online, put your own thoughts and feelings, add images, and they print it and send it in the mail. Remember that mailbox thing? All for like less than $1. So it's really an extraordinary way for you to participate in that prompting to appreciate as many people as you can during the week. And of course, you will benefit from that probably 10 times more than anyone you send to it. It feels so good to send messages of appreciation. So we thank you for supporting our sponsor. And so back to kind of a recap of the latest Abraham Hicks workshop. Just got back yesterday from the San Francisco workshop. So shout out to anyone who was there in the room. It was really an extraordinary event, as it always is. But one thing they were also talking about, this just had certain lines that really caught me that I wanted to chat about with you, Heather, because I think it's really interesting. One thing they said is that you can change your beliefs in comfortable ways.
Okay.
Like you don't have to work really hard. Like you can release stuff in a joyful, loving, comfortable way. And that was the first time I'd ever heard them say that, because I think a lot of us feel like releasing beliefs is a lot of work.
Well, I want you to tell me more about that, because it's very generic right now. So I have some questions. And
so the idea that we can expand through joyful, comfortable realizations is sort of a new concept, because usually they talk about our evolution through contrast. Mm-hmm. But this idea that we can evolve through a delightful journey was one that was kind of nice to hear.
Well, I think the key there, and which was the key before too, is the awareness. You were saying catching it early. I think if you're aware that you want to change something and you're willing and you're allowing and you're going with the flow when you're in the feel-good flow, it can be easy. I think the part that makes us think it's difficult is when we're in resistance.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the part that's painful all the way through. You know, I think that really is the key to that. So if we can learn to release resistance and understand the importance of it, then the expansion is a joyful journey. It doesn't have to be, you know, dig a hole, jump in it, crawl out, feel better, which is sort of an old technology. That's kind of the older way to do it, you know. But they really focused a lot on unconditional living.
Well, there's so many different thoughts about this.
Go ahead. Sorry.
There's a lot of different thoughts about this. You know, like being that I'm a hypnotherapist and there's people that do NLP and there's people that do all different types of like techniques or modalities to change thoughts. And some people say, well, it's in your muscle, it's in your memory, it's in your cells, it's here, it's there. And, you know, little kids that don't even speak yet have certain habitual things that happen over and over and over again. So I think part of that whole thing is what your belief system is, how to change something easily and joyfully.
Yeah. And I think it does start with that belief in order to joyfully release the other belief. That's a good one to start with. You know, they talked a lot about conditions. The fact that we spend a lot of time evaluating conditions in our lives, putting a lot of emphasis on details. And again, I've heard them say this before, that our problem is that we're willing to put up with not feeling good. We've normalized that, you know. And really the reason that we're not feeling good is because Source is unconditional. Like Source is loving you and loving everyone in your life and loving every circumstance without condition, right? And so whenever we deviate from that high vibing perspective, the result, the equation, is negative emotion. So there's this understanding that Source has an opinion about what's going on in your life. And when your opinion differs from Source's opinion, the result is negative emotion. And somehow we feel like we're just willing to tolerate that.
Yeah.
You know, and I really liked that sort of equation, understanding that, you know, our inner being is unconditional. So we have to find a way to agree and be in alignment with that unconditional inner being as much as possible.
Which is basically just allowing.
Exactly. Exactly. But there is that allowing without having to figure it out, without having to make it better, without having to fix it, to just be at peace with what is, which can be challenging. You know, it can be challenging because sometimes, depending on the circumstance, you know, there is this tendency to want to get in there and make something happen.
Well, and you were talking about being okay with not feeling good. I was thinking about all the drugs that people take, and it's like, oh, I need an aspirin, I need a sleeping pill, I need a pain pill, I need this, I need that, the other thing. You know, people are used to when they're not feeling good, just doing something about it physically, you know?
Without getting to the sort of root canal of it.
Well, not looking at the energetic aspect, more just looking at the physical aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was interesting to think about this idea of my inner being having an opinion, having a perspective, and that part of my joyous expansion and the way that things come easily to me is when I join that inner being perspective. And really, and we've talked about this all the time, that there really isn't any other kind of goal than to blend with that. To blend with that inner being, to blend with that expansive. Because, you know, basically they said, would you like to hook up with energies that creates worlds, or would you like to kind of be out there on your own?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let's think about that, you know. So this blending, and how do you do that on a Tuesday afternoon when you get an email that sucks, you know, or when nothing's going quote unquote right? Or, you know, that's really the question is, you know, can I step back, take a breath, and say, you know, what's my inner being's perspective on this?
Well, I mean, my vantage point is the blending is already happening. Source is us and we are Source, right? And so the inner being is really just the Source within us, which is the non-physical, that is the same non-physical in you, is in me, is in everybody that's on listening right now. That's, you know, so we're already blended. So really all it is just a surrendering and allowing. I mean, it doesn't even take, there's little effort really involved.
It is more of a letting go than a taking on. Agreed.
And, yeah.
But I think the emotional maturity and understanding what emotions are doing, I think is a really interesting roadmap. And they talked quite a bit about that. You know, when I feel love, source is in agreement. The reason I'm feeling love is because source is in agreement with what I'm feeling and thinking. When I feel fear, the reason I'm feeling fear is because whatever the thought is underneath that fear, source is not in agreement with. And so
it's the other way around, though. It's not that source is in agreement. It's that we're allowing source is always love. So source is not going to go to fear, but we are the ones choosing to look at fear and not looking at love.
Right. But I love the roadmap of that. Like when I'm feeling fear, if I go underneath the thought that allowed the fear to bubble up or whatever the circumstance was. And again, we're not talking about, you know, a tiger jumping out and chasing you. We're talking about that fear of thoughts that are leading to, what if this doesn't happen? What if that happens? You know, kind of going through the negative drudgery of all the thousands of things that could go wrong. When we're feeling that, it's like the reason we're feeling it is because source doesn't have that perspective. And there is that relief in letting it go, you know. And it is truly about getting that. They had said this over and over, that we came here to get to know source better, which I think is kind of an interesting perspective, that we came to this planet to have the choice to resist source so that we could get to know it more fully.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, right? It's like a game. It's like some sort of strange game that we've come to forget ourselves, to remember ourselves.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday and I said, you know, the beauty is that we intend to forget because we want to remember. And when we remember, there's such deliciousness in the remembering that we can't really find that deliciousness unless we forget again and then we remember. So it's just the thing that you can't know light without dark, and you can't know dark without light, because you lose your compass. You have no gauge. And so it's so awesome. I mean, I love hearing Esther talk about, I love hearing Abraham talk about Esther and
yes.
the exercises that she does, because I know, you know, you'll hear from me on the days that I'm having not high disc, you know, I'm not on my high flying disc, and it's kind of funny because it's like, well, I knew this day was coming because I signed up for it, and we're at the buffet and we're asking for everything on the buffet that we can choose from. But then when we have these days where we don't feel so good, it's like, oh, I should know better. You know, I know all this stuff, but it's because we're signed up to have the contrast, and now the contrast becomes easier and easier and easier to allow.
Exactly, because we know, and that's that step four living that they talked quite a bit about yesterday. But one thing that kind of caught my attention is they were talking about this unconditional frequency that source holds, and that they encouraged us to find ways to hold that unconditional frequency without needing to have something on the exterior provoke that. In other words, don't wait to get to the top of the mountain to be able to tap into the unconditional frequency. Don't wait for all the things to line up for you to get the bounce of unconditional frequency. It's like, can you within yourself in this moment, without any condition needing to change, tap into that unconditional loving frequency? The better we get at it, because it does take practice sometimes, depending on the energy that we've gotten, the momentum we've gotten, the experiences that we have. But it's so powerful to use the breath or use whatever technique that you have to tap into that unconditional loving frequency without any prompting other than your intention to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. Like, you're not waiting for something good to happen in order to feel good. You're just choosing to feel good in the moment.
Right.
That's a whole nother way of using this work. It is be the atmosphere. And we've talked about this before, but I think it's so powerful. Be the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than wait for something to happen so you can react to it to be the atmosphere.
I was having that conversation with my teenage daughter. So I'm sure a lot of people listening have children and teenagers. And, you know, that whole thing about, do you want to follow the other people who've decided what looks cool, what outfit is cool, what you know, language is cool and all the catchphrases and stuff? Or do you want to just go out there and create your own thing and then let them catch on to you because you've decided it's cool?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's a powerful place. That's a powerful thing to get when you're young. I'm still trying to figure that out. But it is a muscle that when you have that, you're in that place where you can really enjoy life because you know no matter what happens, you have a place of peace to go. You have a place of alignment to go to. It's not foreign to you. It's a home. You've made it a home to go to that place. And that to me is the ultimate spiritual walk, to be able to have that internal home that you trigger at any moment, no matter what's going on the outside conditions. And you know, that's truly, I think, what we see children doing. You know, Yep. They're just unconditionally living. They get triggered in things, but for the most part, they haven't been talked out of their happiness, or they haven't been convinced that they're less deserving. They're just kind of having a good time, and hopefully you can keep up with it, you know. And I love that, that observation of children playing and how we as adults have lost a little of that. A lot of it. Yeah, we've lost a lot of it.
Lost a lot of it, especially the imagination, you know, the imaginary friends and this piece of paper is an airplane and can't you see all the people on the plane? And it's like, I don't know if I see the people on the plane.
Exactly.
But they see it, you know, it's like, dang, I love that.
It's powerful. Hey, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we've got some really wonderful techniques that they revealed in the workshop just yesterday about speed and control and how you can work with your momentum and what kind of trajectory you actually set up before you came here. So lots more interesting things to talk about when we return. You're listening to the Feel Good Sisters on Everyday Attraction on Unity Online Radio. We'll be right back after the break. Don't think about it. Let it unfold. Let it go. I'll light a candle.
Just like life, grief is a journey, not a destination. Whether it is loss of life, relationship, security, or simply the process of change, have you given yourself permission to begin your journey of grief? Have you yielded to the gift of grace? Join Reverend Chaz Wesley every Thursday at 5 p.m. Central on a virtual navigation from grief to grace, and explore new horizons of empowerment, significance, and support. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world. I'll light a candle in your
name. Pop culture is defined by the Oxford Dictionary as modern popular culture transmitted via mass media and aimed particularly at younger people. But can it be meaningful? Spiritual even? The hosts of Pop Conscious think it can be, and that it can be fun to explore too. Melena Dawn and Stacey Macris Ross will be your amateur cultural anthropologists, examining pop culture and spirituality every Monday at 2 p.m. Central on Pop Conscious on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
You've been listening to Everyday Attraction, where the law of attraction gets real. To learn more, become a fan of our Facebook page, search for Everyday Attraction, or email us at everydayattraction@unity.fm. Your comments and participation are sincerely welcomed.
Welcome back from the break. We have just been having fun about talking specifically about the latest Abraham Hicks conference workshop that just unfolded just yesterday in San Francisco. Was there with about 400 or 500 of my closest friends. Shout out to the Abrahamsters. So one of the things is, as the, you know, the day gets going and more momentum is happening and people are just, you know, high as a kite and feeling things. One thing that Abraham revealed is that when, you know, we get into this high vibing place, all the information that's available to Esther through Abraham is also available to us simultaneously. And a lot of us were feeling, and I felt it too, that I would have a question. And literally the next person who got up would ask that exact, almost verbatim. Like I had in my mind, let's talk more about this step for living. You know, let's talk more about this place of, you know, being blended, being connected, and still allowing contrast to serve us. Allow the problems to come in, let them have their problem stage, but move through it. And I've, you know, I know Heather and I have been really loving this step four conversation. And I was thinking it, and the next woman sat down verbatim. Let's talk about step four living. So they were talking about how we're all in this together, and we're tapping into this pool of wisdom, and that you don't have to go to Abraham. You just have to go to your inner being. It is fun, and I love watching them and watching this whole experience, but I know that I have equal access
right
to that energy. And I think that's really important, because this is not about a guru or following or, you know, making them better than or higher than. It's just a fun experience, but you have access to everything that Esther has access to. And I love knowing that.
And it's cool that it's from a different vantage point, because like when I channel, they say similar things and then they have a different take. And the only difference is that I'm a different person than Esther and you're a different person than Esther. And we're all different people, that we have this little twist of a difference. But in the big stuff is the same, but the way it's delivered has this different uniqueness. And it kind of just shows us how we're each individually unique as well.
Absolutely. And we came in with this trajectory. This was another word that they used 3 or 4 times yesterday. They said, you know, we came in and a trajectory is an energy that's unconditional. It's just moving. It doesn't have any resistance. So we came in with this trajectory, and then we met up with some resistance. And then when we transition into quote unquote death, which there is none, we continue with that unconditional trajectory there. All the stuff that we resisted just gets released. And, you know, we kind of continue on with this wonderful energy. But, you know, they were very clear that we're here to take thoughts and make them things.
Right. You know,
that's what we're here to do. That is not an unspiritual thing. We are here to take thoughts and make them physical and enjoy that process. And one of the techniques that they revealed, which I really appreciated, was, you know, because there is this trajectory and we're here to move through things, you know, when we start to feel wobbly, which is the new favorite word that's going on, right? When we start to feel wobbly about a thought or a topic or a situation, that's when you want to slow down and go general with your thoughts. You go back, right? You get to the bigger, all's well, things always work out for me. You know, you get to that, you know, the sun came up without my effort. You know, you get into that. So when you get wobbly, you go to the general. But when you're wobble free, this is the part I really liked. When you've worked on the wobble free, that is the time to dive into details.
Right.
That's the time to get specific. That's the time to go, ooh, I want this and that and because then the universe is just saying yes, 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 and having fun with you. And then you're able to get as specific as you want to until your desire starts to wobble, and then you got to go back and go general again. So that, I know I never heard that before, but I heard it in a different way, because they're saying we don't want you to just stay general all the time.
Right.
We want you to go specific. We want you to be detailing the thoughts to things path.
Absolutely.
But you don't want to be doing that when you're wobbling.
Right. Absolutely. I love that. I love that this this work just kind of doesn't – it's so physical and non-physical. And one of the things that that – through my own channeling I've experienced is, as much as we appreciate source appreciates us. So they can't experience all the things without us, just like we can't experience without them. So there's that mutual love and mutual understanding and mutual appreciation. And I think that's the other reason why they're saying get specific, because then they're getting to feel through us. They're getting to smell what we smell and taste what we taste and hear what we hear because of our physical aspects, because we have bodies, you know? And so it's that beautiful, you can't get the beautiful specifics unless you go there from a place of that non-wobbly or that pure, positive, connected energy.
Exactly. And I think that really, no matter what's going on, you can be at peace with it, because if you're in the vortex and you're wobble free and you're getting specific to the universe and you're high on the details of the kind of the hues of your wanting, the subtle hues of your wanting, that's good too. But if you get to the point where your beliefs can't quite follow your desires and you get wobbly, then there's absolutely a way and a technique to work with that. And as you're getting more general, one of the wonderful things that I'm hearing them say over and over again is remember the contrast is serving you. As we talked about before, every quote unquote problem has within it. And they went so far as to say that your inner being is working to orchestrate some of these problems. Yeah, well, I like hearing that. Orchestrate some of this contrast in order for that expansion point. That right. Some of this contrast is coming from the vortex. It's coming from, and that's, you know, that's new news, because we, you know, you and I have been in this a long time. There was a long time where it was all about avoiding the contrast. And that when you got the contrast, it was, you fell out of your vortex. Try again. But this is, again, part of this step four living is that, oh no, you know, the problem is going to have its problem phase. But as long as you don't focus too much on the condition of the problem, the solution is already here. So it is that sort of dance of, no matter where you are, finding ways to soothe yourself into that next delicious place. It's a beautiful system.
It's really important. And it's funny that you said that about the contrast, because I didn't experience it that way before. Like in the old stuff, I still appreciated the contrast, because I got, you know, you always got that you can't know what you want unless you know what you don't want. And the contrast helps gain clarity on what you don't want. So therefore you can know more what you are wanting. So I've always felt like in their stuff, they appreciated the contrast. They might not have said it as clearly as they do now. But we have always been intentionally manifesting the contrast in order to gain clarity.
Absolutely. I think the new information that they're bringing through is that there used to be this idea that there was the vortex where everything you want is. And then there are things outside of the vortex, which are where you're wobbly. And what I'm hearing in this next sort of phase of the information coming through is that contrast happens inside the vortex, because right. It's contrast that's leading you to your vortex. Now, let me clarify. There is contrast that is not leading you to your vortex. You can conjure up contrast that is not part of your expansion.
Right. Yes.
You know, I think that's an important clarification. There's contrast for your expansion, and then there's contrast that you just can't get off that topic, and you've dug another deep hole for yourself. And now you've created some really interesting situations. Now, you can always move away from that, but I think that there's contrast that's on the trajectory of who I am, and then there's stuff that's just keeping me stuck.
Right. Well, I think a lot of it is how you handle the contrast when it comes and where you what you feel. So if contrast comes and you can stay in a feel good place, which is step four living, then you're not going to leave your vortex. But if your contrast comes and just throws you and kicks you way far out there and you go way down into a emotional, low vibrational feeling, it's because how we're choosing to feel about it or think about it.
And we lose the sweetness of it. We lose what it is delivering. Because yeah. If you approach something like, oh, there's a pony in there somewhere, as our friend Jerry used to say, or, oh, this is interesting, rather than, oh, what have I done? How does, you know, kind of going to the drama of it, sort of staying just away from the drama of it and trying to stay in that feel good place, or at least have that open heart space, knowing that source is always there supporting you even in this. Source is finding a way to support you and understand that this is part of an expansion point. So We have a few more minutes left, and I wanted to talk about one woman who sat. It was actually a friend of a friend, actually, who got into the hot seat and said, you know, basically her question was, how can I eat whatever I want and still stay healthy? Which I thought was a very kind of poignant, very straightforward thing. And because the whole day had been focused on this unconditional living and turning away from anything that isn't serving you. And they basically talked about this topic, which I immediately thought would be a great book called Unconditional Eating, mm-hmm. which really rustles the feathers of a lot of San Franciscan Bay Area people, because there's so much focus on what to eat and what not to eat.
Right, right.
And
what's good for you and what's bad for you.
Oh, man, there is no topic that upsets this particular area more than this, I think, because people really want. And, you know, they've said that organic food has a higher vibration. Absolutely. No doubt about it. But if you're in a low vibration, organic food is not going to be very helpful for you because it can't get to you. You know, you can only use great energy if you're matching it. You know, which is kind of interesting. So it was a lot of fun watching them talk about this idea that, you know, your body knows what it needs. And you have so many rules that we've put up, you know, that we're not really experiencing the largesse of foods and, you know, tastes and experiences, because we've sort of restricted ourselves to, you know, eat certain things because of the stories we're telling about them. And again, they're not saying that there isn't energy differences amongst food, but your body, your alignment, because alignment trumps everything, your alignment can pull nutrients out of a lot of things.
Right.
And I think it's a really fun conversation. So I want to write the book Unconditional Eating. I think that would be a blast, just to really delve more deeply into this idea of alignment trumps everything. And then if you eat from the place of alignment, chances are you're going to choose the high vibrating food. See, that's the thing.
I know it's true. I mean, I've gone through this so much and changed my entire diet, not any of it because I thought I was supposed to, but just listening to my body. Listen, it's like you listen to your body and you line up with it, and you listen to your body and you line up with it, and you listen to your body and you line up with it. And it's this constantly moving thing, and you move with it. I could help write the book.
Exactly. Right.
But I've had a great experience with it.
But I think the key, though, is that when you don't eat what you quote unquote would feel good and you eat something else, you cannot beat up on yourself about it. Because
right.
the minute you beat up on yourself about it, you've actually now kind of doubled and quadrupled the energy zap that you're getting. So it's this unconditional loving of self as well, and allowing that this is part of it. You know, it's part of the experience, and that we want to eat from inspiration, not motivation, which is what I thought was a really interesting distinction. Motivation is, again, about what's been told or but really from inspiration and aligned eating. But really, there's an opportunity for you to let go of any thought that doesn't serve you, especially after you just ate something that you don't think is good for you. So I thought that was kind
very
of
cool. Yeah, and before we close, do you have time to say how they said to be joyfully willing to change your vantage point or change your old beliefs?
In a comfortable way?
Yeah, did they say, like, for instance, here's how? Like, did they give a tool?
Well, if you stay blended and stay connected with Source, then what's going to happen is the beliefs that don't serve you are simply going to fall away. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be something that you release. It's going to be something that you can't even remember.
Yes.
It just doesn't, it can't find you.
The only thing that I think may or may not be true about that is if people don't think that that's possible. Because I definitely agree that that's possible. But I think the reason people stay stuck in old beliefs is because they don't think that they can get rid of them, you know?
Absolutely. Or, and I think that this is part of why the hypnotherapy works so beautifully, is that we've normalized some of those beliefs where we don't even realize we have them.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes going to that subtle, subtle place of the unconscious and the subconscious to release. And so I think that there are different techniques. And of course, I didn't talk about that, but I think that there are opportunities for us to get even more and more sensitive to how we're feeling so that we can uncover some of those things that might be normalized that are no longer serving. But just to wrap it up, you know, really what they said at the end is that Source is always, always there for us, always supporting, and that faith is knowing that everything is going to unfold perfectly, but not needing to know how. And that really making fewer demands on how life reveals itself is a better way to be in the world so that it can come to you and let the path come to you rather than you have to go find the path. Just be in that high vibing energy and let the path be shown to you as a delightful step-by-step incremental way to your expansion. Rather than you having to go hack it out and figure it out and make that path happen. You know, it is a very elegant system that doesn't require your efforting, but just your being and your aligning and your unconditional loving. And that was a great way to wrap up the workshop. So thank you, Heather, for walking back with me a little bit. And it was fun to just talk about the day yesterday because so much happened in that energy. And it's good to kind of keep it going. And we'll look forward to hearing next time about how your experience was in Los Angeles.
Yay! So excited.
Thank you all. Have a great week and feel good, sister.
Feel good, sister.
See you next time.
Thank you for joining us on Everyday Attraction, where the law of attraction gets real. Join host Ray Zander every Friday at noon Central Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on Unity Online Radio for more ways to align with your source and start living the life you intended to live. Everyday Attraction is a part of the Align Radio Network at www.alignradio.com and sponsored by Send Out Cards. Check out www.sendoutcards.com/attraction. You know the saying, a good deed is its own reward? Well, moving toward a plant-based diet and vegan lifestyle is one kind and compassionate act that isn't just its own reward. It will also reward you with vibrant health, boundless energy, an easy way to keep your weight where you want it, and according to yogis and Unity's co-founder Charles Fillmore, even give a boost to your spiritual life. On Main Street Vegan, the radio program named for the popular book, Victoria Moran will make your move in a vegan direction easy, fun, affordable, and delicious. With enticing topics and entertaining guests every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Time, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Spirit of Recovery is the place where spirituality and recovery meet, where we support your spiritual growth. Reverend Anna Schaus, Ph.D., interviews down-to-earth guests who share with you how they keep going and growing in recovery. Spirit of Recovery is the place to get practical tips and join in lively discussions on topics that matter to recovering people. This program welcomes everyone who wants to know more about recovery. Join Anna and her guests live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central Time on Spirit of Recovery, where we talk about what keeps you growing. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.